Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Don't forget to check out our blog and all the other things on our website that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Alan Friedman is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Alan is the editor-in-chief and the founder and the creator and the visionary and all those other things of the computer desktop encyclopedias. It's a book. It has been a book. But also, it's a series of web feature, a web capability, computer desktop encyclopedia. Let me see, what's my newest version here? 16.2. No, I got newer than that. 18.1. I got a new one I haven't opened yet. Alan, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Let me see what I got here.
19.2.
See, I have 19.1. And you know, Irma sent me this thing. Irma, she actually wrote in the inside, "Happy New Year, Irma."
Well, you've got 19.3 on your website. You're always up to date.
I've got it on my website, but I'm talking about what I have in my hand. I've got 19.1 in front of me here in the handy-dandy little box. But anyway, Computer Desktop Encyclopedia, folks, everything you'd ever want to know about technology, if you have a technology question, you want to know what this means or what that means, that's what Alan and Irma does. Now, let's talk about I want to do something we haven't done before, and I want to talk about that we haven't done at all on this show, and that's the new Microsoft operating system. What's it called?
It's called Vista, Windows Vista.
Vista. Now, I use Professional XP.
Mm-hmm.
All of our boxes here have Windows Professional XP.
Mm-hmm.
2000. I get. Mm-hmm. No, is it 2000? What is it?
No, it's XP.
XP. That's right.
Windows
XP
Pro.
We did use XP 2000. Now it's XP. Okay. And frankly, I like it pretty well. So why would I want to upgrade? It's going to cost me to upgrade, right, to Vista?
Absolutely.
Now by the way, I think we should a little bit of history, Alan. We should point out that Vista was supposed to have already been out.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Wasn't it supposed to have been out when earlier this year, or when was?
Oh, I think a couple of years ago.
Oh, really?
I first envisioned it. It's had a lot of delays.
I didn't realize that, and
yeah.
I didn't realize it was that far behind, and now it's only projected to be available next January, I think.
And this fall, supposedly for businesses, where they're installed on PCs for businesses, but early next year for the consumer.
Okay. Now, am I going to have to pay to upgrade to Vista?
Absolutely.
All right. And so what's it going to cost?
I'm not exactly sure.
$300 or so?
No, I would think an upgrade might be $150. I don't really know.
I mean,
you could check it out, but the issue isn't probably so much for the company that has 5 or 10 PCs. It's for the companies that have 20,000.
Right. Yeah. No kidding. Okay. What is going to be the exciting thing about Vista? What do you know about Vista that's exciting?
Well, Vista is going to be the fear factor. Microsoft is going to tell you that if you buy Vista, you will not have as many, at least, security problems, and that they have hardened the operating system.
That's not the first time they've said that, is it?
No, it isn't. It is not the first time.
And it hasn't been true in the past, has it?
Not really. From the things that I've read, that Vista does have some pretty solid security built into it, because everybody is attacking Windows. The bad guys love to go after Windows because it's the predominant operating system.
Right.
So that'll be what sells it. And businesses probably will businesses will do two things. Businesses will decide not to go with Windows at all and jump to Linux finally, because they're going to have a huge retraining program anyway.
The open source system.
That's open source, and it's free, and it's not free. because technically the operating system is no cost. But
well, we're going to talk about Linux in a minute. We are going to get there, but let's just stay on Vista now. So, but I do take your meaning that that is one thing people will jump to that instead of paying the upgrade. Or what about the learning curve? Is it going to be hard to is it, you know, I didn't have to learn a lot when I changed from Windows 2000 to XP to professional XP. It wasn't a big learning curve there. Is there going to be a big learning curve when I go to Vista?
Well, not for the basic things. Not really. It's going to be more of a learning curve for your technical people who have to administer it and have to deal with it. And
you're talking to my technical people.
Pardon me?
You're talking to my technical people.
Hello, Mr. Technical Person.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Well, it depends.
And more's the pity.
It depends on how nitty-gritty you get into the thing, you know?
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're going to talk a little bit more about Vista and see. Alan's going to give us an idea about whether we're going to should look forward to it, whether we should shell out an extra $150 just to have it, or should we go another route? And he'll talk to us about that other route in just a few minutes. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm alone in the dark, even though time and time again I see your face smiling inside. I'm so happy. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Alan Friedman, longtime member of our Brain Trust, editor-in-chief of Computer Desktop Encyclopedia, and I'm proud to get my quarterly subscription every 3 months. And also, as you know, folks, you can find this great capability on my website. You can find it on some others, as well as you can find it at Alan's website. Alan, give it to us, please.
It's computerlanguage.com.
Computerlanguage.com. And folks, we're talking about, Alan's helping us understand the new Vista operating system that's coming out, allegedly. It's still allegedly, isn't it? Because there's no guarantee it's going to be out the first of the year, right?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be delayed again, but I think it's imminent.
Why has it been delayed so far?
They've done a lot of rewriting. Every version of the operating system is harder to deal with because they have patched and tried to accommodate all the things that have happened, all the applications that come out. They try very hard. You have to give Microsoft credit for trying very hard to make everything work with Windows. And the applications that are out there, the more they have to deal with.
Well, and the thing is every day that it takes longer to launch the thing, there's a new challenge that pops up that they got to fix. I mean, the technology landscape is a moving train. It's shifting sand, isn't it?
Well, yes, and it's when it gets out there in the real world, when they have tens of thousands of beta testers, and then they know what the reality is, and they have to deal with it.
Right, right.
But it's a major change. It is definitely. It's going to look different too.
It's going to look more like the Macintosh.
It's going to look like the Macintosh.
Oh, really?
It's going to be fancier. It's going to have more translucency. It's going to have more pizzazz. They're spending a lot of energy on the pizzazz, especially for gamers as well.
I was a Mac user for 20 years.
Yeah, well, you won't, may not know the difference after a while.
I don't have Macs anymore, but I made my living on Macs for a long, long time until PCs kind of caught up with Macs. But it'll be interesting. And of course, as you know, Macs now have a new operating system. Their fundamental powerhouse is no longer Motorola. It's Linux.
Intel.
Yes, that's right.
That's right. You can run Windows on a Mac.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you think that I'll most people will like the new Windows look, and you think it's going to be more secure from a standpoint of viruses and worms and Trojans and things like that, right?
Supposedly it is.
All right. Well, I have to upgrade all my other software, like my Office Suite and all the other things.
Not initially. No, you wouldn't have to. Right. You generally don't have to.
Is the browser going to change?
Well, the browser will have a few more goodies in it. It's going to have tabs.
Go ahead.
You know what tabs are? Tab browsing?
No.
Like Firefox and other browsers.
Explain that to us.
It means when you open another window, when you get in another web page, the web page that you have currently on screen becomes a tabbed item on the top. So you see all the pages that you want to deal with
so
as
it's
tabs.
Like, it's like breadcrumbs kind of thing. You can go back if you want to.
That's right.
Yeah. That'll be pretty handy, won't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it is handy. It's handy in all the other browsers, which is why Firefox became so popular.
Mm-hmm. You use Firefox a lot, don't you?
That's what I use exclusively.
Firefox is created by, it's open source though, right?
It's open source, it's free, and you can just get it on the web.
All right, let's go ahead and talk about open source now. So folks, in case you're not familiar with this, there's proprietary source and there's open source. Proprietary typically is associated with Microsoft. Their operating system is what they own. They know what it is, and you don't know what it is. You can operate around it. You can build around it. You can build applications around their system, but you can't tinker with the system. With open source, basically, whatever is there, you can have access to it, and you can tinker with it, right, Alan?
That's correct. But that's not what people are using it for mostly. They're using it because it's free, and there is no cost. The open source community, the Linux community,
right,
creates the product, and it is the actual operating system itself is free, although there are many companies making a lot of money selling the operating system along with support.
Well,
and other utilities.
You said earlier it's free, but it's not free. Explain.
Well, it's not free because if you don't know anything about it, you're going to want to get a commercial Linux, which means the operating system that comes with it is technically free, but it's coming with a lot of support packages, installation packages, things to make it easier for you to install, as well as support. So you will pay for that.
So somebody's taking a free platform and added value to it, and they're charging you for the added value.
Well, quite a few are. Red Hat, for example, is one of the most prominent names.
Red Hat actually became a publicly traded company.
A while ago.
Based on something that actually was free to them. The actual engine, the actual foundation for what they do was free to them, but all of the things that they built around it, they had to pay for, obviously, for that development. And so they created a company and almost an industry, didn't they?
That's right. But there's tons of companies, and there's tons of versions of Linux. One of the reasons why it's confusing for people that deal with that. However, a lot of them just will go to Red Hat, or they'll go to Novell, or they'll go to some company, and they'll just use their product, and they'll get their support. Then they'll build their in-house support after a while.
Is open source gaining any ground on Microsoft?
Slowly, every day.
Is it? Yeah. All right,
yes.
Stand by. We're going to talk some more about this with our good friend Alan Friedman. He is the editor-in-chief of Computer Desktop Encyclopedia, an outstanding resource. It's almost 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Here's a crazy man, Joe Cocker, to take us out. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Alan Friedman is our guest, and we're talking about operating systems, primarily Vista, the new one that's coming out allegedly from Microsoft later this year, and then the open source systems, which are available pretty much for free. What does it cost if I wanted to buy Red Hat or one of the... Then you tell me that there are like 100 different companies that are offering a Linux type of operating system?
Well, there are, but there's only a handful of really large commercial vendors that most people would gravitate to. Well,
Red Hat
and Novell are two of the biggest.
Okay, who else?
So, there's Linuxes you've never heard of. You've ever heard of Ubuntu or Mandriva or Debian
or
Gentoo?
What does it cost? What's it going to cost me? What's it going to cost me to buy from Red Hat or Novell?
Well, it depends. You know, it can cost you the same amount as to buy another operating system. It's in the $100 range.
Yeah.
But again, you get support and you get a CD. You see, if you just did it all on your own, then you've got to be able to go in, download the files, make sure you install everything. You've got to be very
techy. Most people aren't going to do that.
No.
So most people are going to be like me. I need help, so I'm willing to pay for it. It's going to cost me $100, is what you're saying.
Roughly.
Now, if do you recommend that you know, let's say you got a half a dozen, a handful of stations of computer peer-to-peer stations in your operation. Everybody's got their own PC. Mm-hmm. They've all got their own operating system. You recommend, just to see if I wanted to change over to Linux, maybe buy a Red Hat or buy a Novell or something like that operating system, and install it in one of my systems, one of my computers?
Absolutely. Why not? Give it
a try.
And
do I have to uninstall the other one?
Well,
Do I have to uninstall Windows?
Either that, or you create a dual boot system. It can't be. You can't be running them simultaneously unless you have a even fancier software that will let you virtualize them together, which I wouldn't get into if I were you.
So how do I dedicate
a whole machine? Yeah,
Start from scratch. What do I do? Just
start from scratch.
Do I? Take a PC
and start from scratch.
No, I'm trying to get. Stand by a second. Do I just go in and reformat my disk?
Yes. Yes,
just reformat it, save everything off of it that I need over to a hard drive or somewhere, or a tape drive or whatever, and then format the disk, wipe it clean, and then take a CD, a Red Hat CD or whatever, and then load that software.
That's what I would do.
And then you go from there. All right. Will Microsoft Windows work on Red Hat?
No, Microsoft Windows will not.
All right. So I gotta have word processing. I gotta have spreadsheet. I gotta have whatever.
That's right. But you can also get that for nothing too.
So
OpenOffice
is free.
A free suite of Office applications. By the way, I just happened to go onto the Red Hat site, and I see that a single client operating system starts at $179.
What does it cost for? What does it cost right now for Windows XP?
Windows XP, if you were to purchase it from scratch, I believe that is. 200 to 300.
Okay.
So it's in the same range when you get started.
Right, but then you got to buy the Office Suite, which is pretty expensive.
That's right.
The Office Suite can be $400-$500.
That's right.
For all the goodies.
That's right.
Now, if I installed a Red Hat, let's say, and I took their Office Suite, but then I've got all these other Windows based software programs that I bought over the years. Will they work?
Well, that's your problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
It won't work, will it?
They have created emulators from time to time that run certain Windows applications, but it's not a guarantee. I mean, you have to say, is all I want to do, I want to do email, I want to do browsing, word processing, three or four basic things, and I've got a half a dozen people, that's all they do all day long.
Yeah.
Then you could think about it.
But
if you start looking at your existing Windows applications, you get into trouble. That's
what you
the problem.
Just told me is, based on the way we work around here, I actually am not a candidate for Red Hat.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not. What do you have that is strictly Windows?
Well, I got lots of different programs. I got dozens of them that we bought that we use for different applications. We do a lot of different things here.
That's right.
And I don't need to be, you know, if I send a Word file to you and you're using Windows and I'm using Linux, will my open source Word file open on your computer?
Yes, the data is compatible.
I got you. Okay. All right.
But
so really what it sounds like is only the hardcore people who are pretty adventurous and people maybe who they're just mad at Microsoft are going to be doing this, right?
Well, there's two categories. There's the ones that are just want to get away from Windows, and then there are those that don't need anything more than a basic Office suite, browsing and email. So if that's all you're doing, that's another category. It's a huge category of people.
But you can't even order that if you buy a computer. You can't order Red Hat. You can't order that like you can Windows if you go to one of the computer sellers.
Well, I think some of the PCs you can order with Linux installed, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, look for that, folks. Hey, Alan, give us your website again quickly, please.
It's computerlanguage.com.
Thanks, Alan, for being here. Good job today, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jim. Always a pleasure.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be back on the other side of the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.